What happens in Cairo does not stay there. This morning, the spreading unrest in the Middle East.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiatakis. Time for the global perspective, how the intersection of the U.S. and the world affects us. BP this morning announced it's very likely that it will evacuate its employees from Libya as violent protests rock that country. And oil prices have hit a 2.5-year high based on fears of instability in Libya, which accounts for 2% of the global supply. While Libya's protesters credit the revolution in Egypt as inspiration, life in Egypt may actually be settling down. Banks and stock exchanges in Cairo reopened yesterday, and this morning U.S. officials arrived in Egypt to begin talks with the new government. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us this morning from Cairo. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Bob.
So how is this news out of Libya playing there in Egypt?
People are definitely following it. That said, there is a lot of empty desert between Cairo and the Libyan border, and that border's been closed. Libyan exiles here have been rallying in front of their country's embassy, and actually just this morning outside my hotel. I have to say, though, while the sounds that I'm hearing from all these video clips from Libya on Al Jazeera are of gunfire, here in Cairo, the sound of revolution sounds a little more like this.
Now, that could be any rush hour here in L.A., which is, I take it, your whole point.
Right. What we're getting is traffic, a lot of traffic, what passes for normal traffic in Egypt, which means it's chaotic, it's horrible, it's loud, there's taxis and buses, even donkey carts on the roads. Remember, the unrest here closed the banks and schools, a lot of factories. No one was going to work. Nobody was going out shopping. Yesterday was the day that the military and the pro-democracy people all said Egypt's open for business. So banks opened. There were some lines, but not too bad. Food prices at street stands are virtually the same as before. All the shops are offering these huge sales to get people spending again.
So if this is the beginning of maybe what a post-revolution recovery looks like there, how long until everything truly does get back to normal in Egypt?
Well, there's still a long way to go, no doubt about it. To begin with, there's still tanks at every major intersection. Magda Kandel runs the Egyptian Center for Economic Studies in Cairo.
Obviously, we're all concerned about the economic loss. Things have not stabilized yet, and particularly there were a number of strikes that the country witnessed in the stock market closure. These are very concerning matters that are likely to have some impact on economic activities.
And to give you a sense, the country lost nearly $2 billion from this crisis. More than a million tourists packed up and just left. You know, look, this country has actually been growing really well, even in the global recession. Before the revolution, it was expected to be up 6%. And they'll be lucky if they grow at all this year.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us from Cairo. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Right at the top of the numbers this morning, global prices for oil are up under pressure from the spiraling turmoil in Libya, which is a big petrol supplier for Europe. Oil prices have jumped more than a dollar and a half to nearly 88 bucks a barrel today. That's got European investors nervous. London's FTSE has stumbled 0.33%. The DAX in Frankfurt and the CAC 40 in Paris have slipped 0.33%. Adding to the headaches, German drug and chemical maker Merck says its fourth quarter net profits were down 18%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
There was plenty of political finger-pointing on the Sunday talk shows as Republicans and Democrats blamed each other for the looming impasse over proposed spending cuts. The face-off over lifting the nation's debt ceiling could shut down the federal government as early as next week. GOP lawmakers are signaling this morning they'll seek a short-term budget extension to avoid a shutdown. In the meantime, both sides have put their long-term spending suggestions on the table, and that's drawn a big yawn. From Fortune magazine editor-at-large Alan Sloan, he's here now to tell us why this debate has left him so bored. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
First, let's talk about the budget. There's been a lot said about both proposed budgets, those from the Republicans and President Obama's budget offering. What's your take on the tension in Washington?
I am completely bored. I mean, you hear all this noise from the Obama people, you hear all this noise from the Republicans, and you look and there's almost nothing of any substance. And the idea that I should spend my time obsessing over this is just silly. I'm going to go wait for spring training and hope Mariano Rivera holds up.
Well, what about these plans? Would either of these plans even solve the deficit?
Neither one would come close, and it's hard to believe either one is serious because the Obama thing pretends to be cutting spending but really isn't. And the Republican thing, as best I can tell, consists of, well, let's get rid of things like Pell Grants that help lower-income people go to school, but let's not really deal with defense or entitlements or anything. It's just, at this point, nonsensical.
Well, let's talk about entitlements. What do you think would help solve the deficit problem?
Among other things, raising taxes, though we're not supposed to say that, trimming some of the entitlements, dealing with the Pentagon. The one thing I would actually deal with differently than most is Social Security.
Social Security. It's come up a lot in these debates, I understand. What's the problem with Social Security? Can it be fixed?
Sure, Social Security can be fixed, but Social Security is not a budget problem. Social Security on the books is showing a surplus. In reality, it's starting to run a serious cash deficit, but it's not a budget problem. It's a cash problem. The other things, Medicare and Medicaid, are both budget and cash problems. Social Security is different and not as messy or as complicated as the other two, but who knows what they'll do there.
Alan Sloan is senior editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine, a title that lets him have one foot in the political arena and one foot in the business arena. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, Bob.
A final note. There's an old saying that justice is blind. Apparently, she's hungry, too. In Lake County, Indiana, court officials are cutting the lunch budget for people doing their civic duty as jurors. Chief Superior Court Judge John Pera says he's frustrated and embarrassed, but he's got no choice given recent spending cuts. So here's a case where jurors are finding it really is true. There is no free lunch. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If the center can't hold, things tend to fall apart.
The age of anxiety is characterized by a sense of a diminishing American ability to control events around the world.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Zero Sum Future and a New Economic Order next time on Marketplace. Also, the day's business news. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.